Good afternoon. Welcome to Rancho Marietta Community Services District Security Committee meeting. We'll get the meeting to order. Any comments from the public?
I do have a hand raised.
Sure.
Go ahead, Richard Beers.
Hey, I was just wondering if there's any update on the status of the security camera policy.
I'm not sure on that. If it's not covered, I'll ask staff that specific question. I know that we haven't, I don't remember anything coming across to me, so I don't know off the top of my head, but we'll get an answer before the meeting's out on that. Any other comments?
Yes, this is Tina. I will answer that. We just finished the draft policy of that today, this morning, in fact. So that will be presented at the next available committee meeting, as well as to the board next month.
Oh, very good.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Anything else, Amelia?
No.
All right, item number three, monthly updates, operations. And before I start, and I guess I should have said this at the beginning of the meeting, this goes personally to you, Tina, but to all the brethrens, from a guy on the fire side of the street, condolences and just to your former organization and everybody involved with the loss of the officer the other day. So I should have started the meeting off with that. So my personal condolences to you and the former agency. But item number three, please.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay. Item number three is operations update. We're still working on the following projects. We have Valor security staff supporting our security gate and patrol until the vacancies are filled. We have one gate officer from Valor security on graveyard shift, and we also still have one patrol officer to assist us with operations. Recruitment for the security supervisor, we will talk about that later in item number five, but that's still underway. And next item is we have continuing recruitment for gate and patrol officers. We had one gate officer resign, that was Fernando Solis. We did backfill his position immediately with applicant Paul Anderson, who is currently working right now. He's done a great job in training and is already on his own and worked on shifts that where we needed someone because somebody had called out. So he's doing a great job. And he actually lives in the South as well. So he's always available. We still have one patrol officer applicant in backgrounds. We're just awaiting FBI fingerprints for that. It seems to be taking quite a while for them to get back to us just on the firearms fingerprint FBI portion of it. The California already came back. So for the county citations, I will have an update on that. That is agenda item number six. So we'll talk about that later. In regards to summer events, planning, extra staffing, right now, currently, the Sheriff's Department is on hire back on Fridays until further notice in the evening hours from 6 p.m. to midnight. We do have Saturdays available as well, but nobody has signed up for that. So for the month of May, we will have one Saturday filled, but then a Friday won't be filled. And typically it's with Deputy Hulk. And then we do have a new deputy that will come out on that one Saturday.
Tina, I got a couple questions.
Yes.
Yeah, so I get it's kind of an at will to fill the staffing. I would think if we see trends or if things are what I expect on a Friday shift to a Saturday, then I don't know if we want to bring back one of our employees or if we want to hire back Valor. And I've got some questions for you towards the end on some target hazard assessments and some of those things to go in the annual report. But I would think just because we don't necessarily have sheriffs, we might be able to look at still doing some additional staffing. Or potentially even just moving staffing on Saturday from that standpoint. The other comment I have, it was brought to my attention that there was a little bit of a backup at the North Gate a couple Mondays ago. What was sent to me was some pretty ugly, vile stuff on local social media blaming some lady at the country club. I guess my question to you, if you don't have the answer, that's fine. I'll take it offline. Did we have any significant events during that lack of communication between the country club and CSD? And if you know off top of your head, that's great. If you don't, I'll take it offline, because I'll do it now. I'll do it next week, and I'm going to go do it in person. I'm going to apologize to Bonnie for what the local social media vile conversations were about her. She wasn't the person to blame. Please take your pot shots at me. The board president, at the end of the day, it happened once. It is what it is. We've learned from it. We'll work with the country club. But that's my second question. Otherwise, I'm done. Continue on.
Sure. In answer to your first question, there was a golf tournament and there was some backup. It was requested, and I wasn't here at that time, but it was requested possibly that we use the iPads to check people in, but the iPads are only good for fast passes. So unfortunately, there was a little bit of a backup at the gates in checking people through the guest gate. So I have already reached out to the country club so we can see maybe about the possibility of doing a guest list where people could be checked in one of the lanes, or maybe issuing fast passes, although I think that would be a little difficult if we don't know who the guests are that are coming in, if it's other people that are just watching the tournament. So but we have a meeting for that. So I don't know what the comments were, anything like that, but we're working.
Well, none of them were official. So. Yeah, of course, none of them were legitimate or official.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I'll have some discussion with you before that meeting with the country club. Like I said, I owe an apology publicly, and I'll do it in person to Bonnie. It just wasn't appropriate, but it's just the state of the environment we're living in. So very good. Thank you. Continue on, please.
Okay. And then in regards to the extra staffing, yes, we'd be willing to do the additional officer hiring back if somebody will within the district. The guys are getting a little bit burned out with working 12-hour shifts as fill-ins are needed. If
no, understand. And I think that's just, again, I think when we sit down to talk about the target hazard assessment that kind of needs to be done for the annual report, you and I've kind of chatted briefly about this before. I think we could just look at some of those things and truly what are our options moving forward, irrespective of where we're at with the opinion survey. So very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I have that on the line item too. We'll utilize Val Alert Security as needed for extra patrol as well. For that, when the sheriff's permit isn't available. The next item, it's the RFP for contract security services. That's agenda item 8. So we'll talk about that later. In regards to the AEDs, the policy is currently being written for implementation of these devices and making sure that everybody will be trained on them. We only have 3 of us that need our first aid and AED certification, so we're in the midst of getting everybody scheduled for that. On the RMCC events, we're working with RMCC staff to set up the meeting to discuss upcoming events and how to alleviate traffic flow and backup at the gates. So that was already on the updates here. And as far as the RMA goes, we continue to work with RMA leadership on a regular basis. If there are incidents where there is a safety concern, they go to the FI security dispatch, call the sheriff's department, and the and basically our focus is on the general non-architectural enforcement with violations, the stop sign enforcement, speed enforcement, and we're doing missions as we can and working with Chris at RMA on that. We have the license plate reader cameras at the north and south gates being worked on. Watchdog Security will be installing the camera for the outbound exit number 2 bike lane at the north gate beginning next week. I talked to Olaf about that. And he has also reached out to RMA Rod in regards to the electrical work that needs to be done for the south gate license plate reader repair, because the issue with that is it's just the electrical wiring that needs to be fixed. There's not enough, the wiring will not hold the correct amount of power that needs to go to the license plate reader. So right now that camera is not working on the exit lane at the south gate. Barcode readers, we're getting new barcode readers. The purchase order was approved on that. We're just waiting for the manufacturer to give us a date and time of install and ordering of the barcode readers. And I have been attending the RMA compliance meetings monthly, and that's actually pretty positive. Good group of guys over there, and so we're working closely with them on what they need and what they want, and as far as the violations that we write. So it's been pretty positive working with them there. And then in the Murrieta Village and the Rancho Murrieta Commercial Owners Association, we do our regular patrol activity out in that area. Haven't seen really too many issues. So any questions, comments on that?
I'm good. Amelia, do you have any hands?
I don't have any chats, and I do not have any hands.
All right, continue on, please.
Okay, and next, the next slide, you will see I have the Sacramento County Sheriff's off-duty hire back report for April 2021. The dates that Officer Hulk worked were the 16th, the 17th, and the 23rd. They are 6-hour shifts from 6 p.m. to midnight. We could adjust those hours if need be. That's not a problem with the, all I have to do is notify the off-duty coordinator for that. So he worked a total of 18 hours, and that is the actual cost that they just billed us, the $1,540.62. So we just received that invoice. They bill us monthly for that.
Tina, a couple questions. I think trends will tell us if we need to change the timelines. And then the other question, does this include them bringing their own vehicle?
Yes, yes, they bring their own vehicle. I did request that.
Perfect, thank you.
And then, so during those three shifts, he had 2 actual calls for service within the district that were dispatched by our dispatch. And then he did a 1 traffic stop on a vehicle. No arrests were made during the month of April. And he basically drives around the district and does the checkpoints and assists the patrol officer when needed. And usually that's Vitale. So any questions on this?
No hands raised, no chats.
All right, next item is the incidents of note for the month of April. On April 4th, there were some gunshots out west of Calero Lake. Oh, there we go. Patrol responded to a report of a gunshot in the area near Calero Lake. He heard several gunshots and found it was actually coming from a neighboring property at Latrobe Road. Some vehicles were parked in the area. We didn't locate anyone on district or RMA property with a firearm. April 10th, there was an animal call at the 6900 block of Pescado Circle. A resident's pit bull charged at a neighbor and jumped on her. There was no dog bite, no injuries. Patrol issued a RMA violation. Sac County Animal Control responded and did a report on this complaint. They were out the next day on that. April 18th, there was a vehicle accident, and this was a serious accident because there were major injuries involved in this. And that was at the Rancho Murrieta Airport runway. At about 8 p.m., our patrol officer observed a black Tesla on the runway of the airport and accelerate at a very high rate of speed. The vehicle attempted to stop at the end of the runway, but continued to the unpaved area. The vehicle actually got airborne three different times and technically crashed into the dirt, but there were some humps in the dirt. So there was major vehicle damage and serious injuries to the passenger of this vehicle. So the fire department and CHP responded for the report. And one other thing to note is we found out from the airport manager that that particular airport is not controlled by the FAA. It is an uncontrolled airport. So there were some questions by the fire department as well as our patrol officer as to what our response is if we're supposed to notify the FAA in regards to this type of thing. And there is no reporting.
Yeah, there's a couple of airports, and this airport is a private airport. It's not part of Sacramento County Department of Airports. They have an example, McClellan Park is what they called a uncontrolled, not out of control, but uncontrolled airport, meaning there is no staff vectoring in aircraft. Closest we have would be Mather, and then obviously international, but executive is the same way. So yeah, we don't have a responsibility to the FAA in this situation.
Yep.
Very good.
And on April 28th, there was a road rage incident. It actually just occurred on Jackson Road on the highway. Victim reported that a box van pulled in front of him, causing him to veer off the road. He then passed the van and tapped on his brakes. So the alleged victim then pulled over to let the van pass. So the driver of the van also pulled over and then assaulted the victim. And then the van left the scene. He did get a license plate. He took a picture of the vehicle driving away. So the sheriff's department and CHP responded and took a report for that. Other than that, that's all the incidents of note I have. All shifts were covered during the month of April. Any questions on that?
No hands raised, no chat. And we'll go back up to the RMA report. Yes?
Sure. All right. And on the RMA report, the violation summary, CSD wrote a total of 58 tickets for the month. So we're keeping up our numbers. Or I should say wrote a total of 58 violations. And most of them were for speeding and driveway parking.
Tina, I have a question on that.
Yes.
What is the, because you can see, I think February, we only had one and then it went to 12 and to 20. And I think it's appropriate. You just, again, you could get somebody from your history of employment or CHP, and they'll tell us, you know, on average, how many we have speeders just for the population. But to that extent, is this due to a training? Is this due to a philosophical change in leadership? Why are we more active than we have in the past?
I'm going to say it's a change in philosophical leadership and meeting with RMA and getting clear expectations and needs and desires of RMA as well as in the district. So that's actually, and it's been a positive thing, obviously. The officers are out there doing a lot more, so that's good.
Well, yes, and so to that end, for doing that, thank you. Continue on, please.
You're welcome. All right, and the next item is going to be the gate entries report. As I said last month, I'm going to do the prior month total so we can see the increase or decrease in entries. And as you can see, the total entries into both gates went up to 17,728. Prior month's totals was only 13,900. the increase in that is the guests entering, and I believe the other one was the country club for the special event. And then of course, vendors has increased as well.
So, I hate to keep interrupting you, I'm sorry. My thought process on this, Tina, is we run this report for the first quarter of the year. And then I think what we do is that we can work offline, but my thought process is we sit down with the general manager. I think there's an opportunity for us on some of the vendors. I think that there's a percentage, and I don't know off the top of my head, that they're normal vendors that come in. And we start having some discussion with RMA about issuing barcodes to the vendors. We've talked about it in the past. We now have, I think, a good trend analysis for the first quarter of the year. And I think now we have some statistics that, for whatever reason, staff never provided in the past, but now we've got the statistics. We can go to RMA and start having some discussions. So just kind of something to think about. Maybe we do a quarterly report of this, and then we'll schedule a meeting, the three of us, and then set something up and start moving it through the system. Whether you start with compliance, and maybe that's where we start, something along those lines. But I think now that we have a good trend, it's time to ask for some assistance where we can get it.
Okay, sounds good. And next item is gate entries denied for the month of April. We had a total of 45 entries denied. The prior month was 28.
So Tina, my question there, it was zero for the lake and the park access. So I'm curious to what that is.
That one I just added in this month for the
month
of April.
Okay, that's,
I didn't have it
thank
the
you.
Previous month, but I noticed the trend when I was, because I have to actually manually go through each gate entry denied to see why they were denied to get these numbers. So I noticed that the lake and park access had increased basically from the prior month. So typically there would only be maybe one for the lake and park access. Now that it's getting warmer, the weather's nicer, you know, people want to come in and just access the lakes. So when I saw that, I decided I was going to add that point on there.
No, good call. That's what jumped out at me. All right, very good. Thank you.
All right. And next item is the case summary reports. As you can see, we handled a total of 328 cases. That does include the refused entries. So it's a little bit less than that. Most of the calls were parking enforcement, alarms, and suspicious vehicles that were called in.
Very good. Amelia, do you have any hands or anything?
I do have a hand raised. Go ahead, Richard Gears.
Yes, back on gate entry denied and lake park access gate. Who are you denying access to? I'm curious.
It's just people that are not residents that just want to come in because they want to go to the lakes here because they've heard about it. Even one of them was even, they wanted to come in and go kayaking. That's it.
Okay.
So it's what people come, are looking up, it sounds like, on the internet. Oh, hey, there's some lakes out here. We could go here.
Okay. I didn't realize people did that. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. The other issue along those lines, Tina, is I don't know if it's a group, an association, a club, I couldn't tell you, but I do know that they talk about 32 miles of trails to hike out in Marietta, et cetera, et cetera, mountain biking, all these other things. I mean, we've had that issue last year, and the GM was the one that kind of was spot on top of it. So it's advertised out there for people. So I think it's good that we're capturing that because yeah, we have folks that brag about it. And this is the consequence of what happens when they do those types of things. So thank you. Continue on.
Okay, we do need to go back to the gate entries report on that. In answer to your question about the vendor barcodes, I did have discussions with RMA about that. And I actually have a copy of the gate policy for RMA. And that existing policy that they currently have does not allow for vendors to obtain barcodes. So basically it's a long process to change the policy and it requires RMA board approval. Kevin, the general manager, has already discussed it with the board and he is going to escalate it to the governing documents committee. So
very good.
Just so you know, he said it takes at least 90 days to make a rule change, but he'll keep me posted on that. So I wanted to make sure I answered that question.
No, thank you. Yeah, I'm aware of the process. I think now politically, we can move it forward now that the RMA general manager is aware of it.
Yes.
Then the board members from CSD can have conversation with the peers at RMA. We can't speed it up any, but they can understand our cause and effect of what we're trying to do from that standpoint. So very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then we'll go to agenda item number four.
Item number four, discuss boardroom maximum capacity.
All right. So the fire marshal came out last Friday, May 7th, and he listed the occupancy at 69 for with table and chairs, 109 for chairs only, and 208 for standing room only. He'll be sending me the permit or the posting for that. So I'm still awaiting that, but he did send me that in email.
Perfect. No, and that's fine. And yeah, we can post it. And the 208 surprises me a little bit, but the tables and chairs or just chairs kind of make sense. So, okay, that gives us a much better idea operationally. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let me guess. Item five would be after four, and it's an update on security supervisor recruitment. Would that be you?
Yes, on the security supervisor recruitment, I did a first round of phone interviews to confirm the qualifications of the applicants. It was actually done at the end of April, not May. There were more than 30 applications, but I have a stack of a total of five qualified applicants that were invited to a second interview. So looking at doing interviews at the end of this month.
Very good. Okay. That works. Item number six, which happens to come after item number five, discuss final disposition of issuance of county citations. I'm going to go out on a limb. Was this you?
Yes.
Okay.
Me. So on the disposition of the issuance of county citations, our attorney reviewed our authority to issue citations in the area. And he determined that under government code section 61064C, the district may authorize uniformed employees to issue citations for certain violations of law, specifically when a violation is committed within a facility and in the presence of the employee issuing the citation. The law does not define the term facility, but it uses the word in conjunction with the list of services that the community services districts are authorized to provide. So this suggests that the authorization for district staff to issue citations is limited to violations that occur on district property and within the president's presence of the citing officer. The authorization does not extend to non-district owned streets, roads, and parking areas within the community, which means it does not apply to the plaza, to Bel Air, any private streets, within the district. So.
Okay, I understand that. I think, and you had conversation with this early on, I think then really now what our focus will be is really on and around district facilities. An example, people that keep cutting the guide wire around the pump station, Chesboro, people that happen to park their vehicle on or near the water, irrespective of the water line. I think that's where our focus sits. And then really, I think it's going to be our working relationship with law enforcement, because if we do see somebody parking in a handicap, then what's our documentation process, pictures, report, forward it to Sheriff's Department, et cetera, et cetera. And so we can work those things internally, but at least we have a final decision because I know the GM inherited the reason why we stopped is unknown. So how we were able to do it in the past is a little confusing to me, but at least we've gone through this process and it validates what the district responsibility is for district facilities. And I think that we can interpret that everything from our water system to the lakes, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay. I feel better on that one. Thank you.
Sure. No problem. And we're in the process of identifying all the property areas owned by the district so we can write such as the trespassing citation if somebody is in the areas where they're not supposed to be.
Right. And so that's where we'll work back through, because an easement of the district is district responsibility.
Yes.
And it is district property. And so I'm sure with me saying that, I'm picking up what you're laying down. So we're on the same quote unquote path there. So very good. Anything else on number six?
No, nothing else.
Okay. Believe it or not, we're coming to item seven. And if I'm not mistaken, we're going to have something from you to the board of directors on this.
Yes, that is correct. On the survey schedule, there is an update on this. The new timeline is our town hall meeting. We have it scheduled for June 22nd. Of 2021. It will be at the RMCC ballroom from 6 to 8 p.m. It was originally planned for mid-May, but there were some issues in getting a place to have the town hall meeting that was available. So that moves everything forward just a little bit. So the stakeholder working groups meetings would be at the end of June, mid-July.
No, that's fine. I think this actually works out better. It's obviously unofficial, but the good governor of the state of California said it appears June 15th is a good day. I don't know if it's 8 o'clock. I don't know if it's 12 noon, but masks will stop being worn. I don't know if it starts at midnight. I'm not sure, but it actually probably will work out better for us for more community input. I don't think it puts us that far behind because a lot of the other timelines, I think, will fall right into where it needs to be to meet the amendment on the tax 218 proposal. So I'm comfortable with that. And this will go to the board. It'll be in the board packet this week then?
If you'd like it to be in the board packet, I can add that.
Would you do that, Amelia? And I don't think it needs an agendized item. Maybe we attach it to the, and sorry for all the other folks, don't need to be hearing us talk about the housekeeping stuff, but maybe it's just a one-liner from the GM to update the board. So it doesn't have to be its own agendized item by any means, just informational. Maybe we tag it to the GM report, please.
Hi, Tim. This is Tom Hennig. Yes, we will. I'll throw I'll put something into the GM report about the potential for the special chat tax referendum. And just
a quick update. Yeah. And if it's just as simple as we've done that, we've landed on June 22nd, then that lets the rest of the board know. And then everything else that's going to go into place, we'll get updated as need be by staff, but just so that the board's up to speed on it, coming out of your report would be perfect.
And this is Amelia. I was talking to Bonnie. I was working with Bonnie on a date and what worked for them. And I said we were planning on having it in the ballroom, but we wanted to have it with as much space as possible so we could get people in there and still allow for social distancing. And she said that perhaps she has reserved the Murrieta room, and she says that it flows into the terrace. So,
yes.
So it'll be at the country club, and I've asked for the biggest space that they have available for us. Perfect. So that we can have as many people in the community come as want to come. Hopefully it'll fill up.
Well, that's our goal. Another point of housekeeping, sorry to everybody else. Amelia, would you send me Bonnie's contact info, please?
As soon as the meeting's over, yes.
Thank you. Okay, that is item number 7, unless you have anything else, Tina?
Nope, that's it. That's the new updated timeline for the security service opinion survey.
Perfect, thank you. Moving on to item number 8. I'm not sure if this is you or Tom.
That'll be me. This is for the RFP contract security services. We only received one proposal, and it was actually missing several requested items that were in the addendums. None of those were provided. They also did not provide a price schedule as requested. We did extend the deadline, and we received one other proposal for review. So the deadline was extended to mid-May. Right now, we're currently still using Valor Security for supplemental patrol and gate duties at this time.
Okay. Do you think it's just the climate? Is it the economy? That surprises me that we wouldn't have at least a couple from some local vendors.
I'm not sure why. I did have a couple of companies ask some questions, and their questions were about armed versus unarmed. Why do we need armed patrol officers?
Oh, that's so a great one question.
Of them did not provide that type of service. So.
Right.
You know, they declined to give a proposal.
Okay.
That's it as far as the questions go from two other companies.
Right.
And this is Tom. From what I understand too, it's the on-call nature of the agreement, yes. Being that we can't guarantee anything. I'm sure if we were able to guarantee two patrol officers on a regular basis, two or three gate officers on a regular basis, they'd be more willing to go out there and bid. But if you spend a lot of time bidding on something without any sort of guarantee as to how much time you're going to get, it doesn't seem that attractive.
No. And that I get that 1,000%. And I think, you know, some things are still a little up in the air until we get and we're into the next fiscal cycle, and at the end of the next one, beginning of the following, quite honestly, we'll know where we're at for financing of security, and that'll give us better direction from that standpoint. So I think we're doing the best with what we have. So if this is, you know, what responds to us, then we're just going to make it work. And I feel very comfortable with where the organization's at right now with the leadership that we have in place. Okay. Moving on to item number 9, discuss letter of support for the Rancho Murrieta Fire Safe Council.
Yes, this is my item. I received a request from the president of the RMA, Cheryl McElhaney, if the district would be interested in writing letters of support for a fire prevention program grant and a forest health grant. And it is not obligating the district to do anything other than be supportive. So our team here drafted a couple letters for me. We were provided an example and we made it our own a little bit. And those letters are pretty much identical, except they talked about each different grant. And so we've created these, I've signed them. And if it's okay with you, Tim, I'm gonna go ahead and ship copies of them to Ms. McElhaney and CC the board so they can meet their deadlines. We needed to get it to them by the end of this week. And I don't believe this really requires to have board approval. It's just a good letter of support as a good neighbor.
It does not require board approval. This falls within your authority. We've done this in the past. Just people need to understand, we're not a desperate community that is in a huge fire threat zone. Especially sitting with in the state responsible area response zone that we sit in. So I get that the Fire Safe Council, is looking for these things. My only point of order is I keep asking them, where's the cooling centers and where are the warming centers when we have to evacuate on the basis of floods and other emergencies that are going to happen way before the fire issues. But I thought the letters were well written. So I say we send them off and if they can do some good for the other Fire Safe Council folks moving forward, then so be it.
All right, thank you.
No, good job. All right, that moves us on to item 10. So staff, any comments, suggestions, thoughts?
Well, mine is a comment and a suggestion all in one. My comment is thank you for adjusting these committee meetings so I could go on vacation. My suggestion is that you don't let me do this again. Because boy, doing all the committee meetings this week with the board meeting next week has created a lot of chaos here in the office, and Amelia and Tina and everybody, Mamie and Paula, they've all done a great job, and Ron Greenfield stepping in for Paul. They've all done a great job of changing their schedules, but we've already made a deal. Amelia will no longer approve vacations at the beginning of the
month. And then no. I'll say, please forgive the reduced amount of comments and typing in the minutes. They're going to be short this month.
No, and I think that's fine. Again, it's one of those. Yes, staff does a great job for us. I know that we thank you, but it is sincere. But yeah, when we have these anomalies, the organization is flexible enough to adjust. But if I was Amelia, I would kind of change the rank structure on vacation approvals. So I think that's a good call.
And I forgot to mention Michelle, who is the stalwart of some very complicated work that you're going to see a lot of tomorrow. So the whole team is doing a great job.
Oh, good. Yeah, thank you. Especially, I know that Michelle's doing a lot of that tedious follow-up stuff to close out some of the issues that we have. With that being said, Tina, and you and I chatted briefly, and I just gave Tom kind of an FYI. I would think sometime after July, so it could be an August or the September board meeting, would be our annual update. That way it would give us time to kind of, the format that was used last time was just horrid. So we have to redo it. The thing I would ask in this, and I know you and I've chatted about this, but really coming up with, on your side of the house, it's threat assessment. Where I come from, it's the target hazard assessment, really. And that will help us kind of figure out what the needs and wants are And you'll know what your fiscal budget is and what we're able to do from that standpoint. But I think we need to include that in the, or I'm sorry, in the annual report.
Yes, that sounds great. And can we get together soon? Are you available this week or next week to talk about that?
Yes. When I get off, we can just take care of it offline this afternoon. We'll land on a date and go from there. Okay. So no worries. Amelia, any hands, anything like that?
I do not have any hands, no chats.
All right. With that, folks, staff, thank you so much. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.
All right. Bye-bye.